At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are able to meet once again in this worldly life. Upon goodness and piety, we ask Allah azza wa jal to accept from us, to keep us sincere and to forgive our sins and our shortcomings. Brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the human being, and He created within us the ability and the need to follow. The human beings by nature want to follow someone and something. And this is very evident. You even see it in young children. If a young child is watching enough Spider-Man, he would want a costume like Spider-Man and jump like Spider-Man. And if a child was to observe his father or his mother's habits, pretty much he will take those habits and apply them in his own life. This is why they mention that the greatest form of raising children is to model parenting. The parent, for him to be the role model for his children, because the children most likely, definitely will follow the ways of their fathers and their mothers. So we have this within us. And this is why you find many times in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, ittabi'u, follow this. Wala tattabi'u, and don't follow this. Not only that, but then Allah Azza wa Jalla will send prophets and messengers, and they are now the actual example that we're supposed to look up to and follow, right? Even the prophets themselves are in need to follow something and someone. So Allah would reveal to them, and He would give them stories of prophets that came before them. And that is how it has been all along. The problem that we have in today's day and age, with filth on the rise, lewdness, shamelessness on the rise, and social media has given this a great push, people have forgotten what a role model is and what makes a person a role model. People are confused. Many of the youth are confused. Who do we follow and who we don't follow? Like, even the world has made a huge deal about followers. See, because the human being is a natural follower. This word appeals. That follow button is probably the most clicked button on a screen, yani, since it was introduced to mankind. The word follow. Follow, follow. How many times is this clicked in one day? Millions across the world. This is human nature. We want to follow. So with this corruption on the rise, influencers, everyone doing what he wants, a person that is caught up in all of this, doesn't know his deen, doesn't know what to follow and who to follow, may become corrupted as well. Because if you follow someone, you will surely take from their habits and from their ways and from their words. A role model is someone who will shape your belief, shape your understanding, shape your vision of things. And so if it's a corrupt role model, you'll end up corrupt like him. If it was a righteous role model, bi-ithnillah, there is a possibility you may become rightly guided like him. And so in today's talk tonight, I wanted to share with you the story of Maryam radiyallahu anha. Not so much the story, because anyone can go and open a book and read about her story. We're not interested in this tonight. I am more interested in sharing with you tonight what made Maryam radiallahu anha a role model for humanity. Because this is what Allah Azza wa Jal said about her at the end of Surah At-Tahrim. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah Azza wa Jal has given an example to the believers, all of them, men and women, by mentioning to us the story of Imra'at Fir'aun, the wife of Fir'aun, which is Asiya. And then the next ayah, which is the concluding ayah of Surah At-Tahrim, Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَمَرْيَمَ بْنَةَ عِمْرَانَ. And Allah Azza wa Jal has also given an example to all the believers, men and women, Maryam, the daughter of Imran. Who is this woman? And what made her a role model? And if she's a role model, that means we should uphold and follow in her legacy. And the one who does so, Allah would be pleased with him in the same manner he was pleased with Maryam, radiallahu anha. Essentially, it is three things that made her a role model. We're going to explore these three things. They are mentioned in this very same ayah, and we will give appropriate commentary on each and every single one of them. But at the very beginning, let's understand, firstly, what is a role model and what makes a person a role model? A role model is someone who sets a positive example through their actions, their belief, and their behavior, and they inspire others to emulate them. That is the definition of a role model. And so Maryam radiallahu anha is an excellent role model and an example for all the believers, and she should be followed, especially as we said in this day and age of an increase in filth and lewdness and shamelessness and vulgarity. In a day and age like the one we live in, that is filled with distractions and distorted beliefs, a role model, a proper role model, can offer you so much. A proper role model will offer you stability, direction, hope, and a purposeful, meaningful life. Today, people's lives is meaningless. There's no purpose in their life, there's no direction. Sometimes he's here, sometimes he's there, he's got no clue where he's going. A great role model is going to give you stability in life and direction. You'll know how to walk, even though everyone is distracted and confused all around you. And a great role model will give you clarity in vision and a purposeful, meaningful life. You know every single day what you want to achieve and how to come closer to Allah Azza wa Jal's pleasure, despite millions around you confused. That's the importance of a role model in a day and age like this. But the question, what makes a person a role model? You see, I'm going to answer this with you through a hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I believe you all know. But once you hear it in this explanation, you'll have a completely different understanding to the hadith and you'll appreciate it a lot more. You all know the hadith in where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ صُوَرِكُمْ وَلَا إِلَىٰ أَمْوَالِكُمْ وَلَا إِلَىٰ أَجْسَامِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah Azza wa Jal does not observe, He does not look at your appearance, your looks, nor does He look at your ajsam, your bodies, your body type and your body shapes. Nor does He pay attention or give any consideration to amwalikum, your wealth, your properties, your homes, your cars. Doesn't look at that. Allah doesn't look at that. You know the disaster in today's day and age? The very same things that Allah does not look at are the very same things that everyone's eyes are glued to. And this is what people are following online, and these are the role models and the influences of today's society. Who are the people that are followed online? Well, really, they call them models from men and women that have beautiful looks and appearances and nice hair and skin routines and no problems. These are important, but I'm telling you, where's people's focus? So you'll find someone that is known as a model. He, she models clothing, swimwear, and so on. People are following that, impressed by what they see. I wish one day I can be called by an agency and employed as a model. Also, people are following ajsamikum, the people of bodies, the athletes, the gym goers. I want a body like him. I want a body like her. Look at her routine in the gym. Look at his routine in the gym. That's what I want. That's what I'm going to be following. Click, follow. And by the way, these are the people that have the millions of followers. See, people are paying attention to that which Allah did not pay attention to, nor does He look at. And the third group of role models in this society and influencers are people of wealth, the millionaires, the billionaires. People also follow them and observe their luxurious lifestyle, what they are purchasing, what they're up to, where they're traveling, where they're going, what did they buy that's new. Well, subhanAllah, the more you have your eyes glued to these matters, you don't get inspired. You don't get inspired. When you're consistently looking at models and body figures, slowly and surely you begin to develop insecurities within yourself, saying, how come I cannot achieve what he or she has of a body and looks? Our role model is supposed to inspire, not demotivate. Millions of our youth, believe it or not, deep within themselves, there are insecurities. These insecurities came from this false role models that have been displayed online. And the consistent look into people's luxurious life and following those millionaires is going to surely create within us discontentment. We're going to look at what we have and we're not going to be accepting of what Allah decreed for us. These are no role models to follow, because they're not going to inspire you to any good. In fact, a lot more damage is done than good. There may be a bit of goodness here and there, but a lot more damage will be created within a nafs the more we follow these models for their looks, appearances, body, wealth, the very same things that Allah Azza wa Jal does not look at. So what makes a role model? In this hadith, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, however, Allah observes and looks at your hearts and actions. That is what makes a role model. The purity of the heart, the sincerity of one's heart, the honesty in one's heart, and the actions of a person, the righteous actions, the worship of a person. That is what a role model is. And these two things are the very same things no one cares about and no one observes. Allahu Akbar. What a hadith we all know, but to understand it in this way gives us a great appreciation. That's why when we turn to the Quran and look into the story of Maryam radiallahu anha, guess what? Allah never told us about her looks and appearance. We don't know what color eyes she had and how her skin was and how her hair looked like and what color it was. We don't know anything about her body figure and her body type. We've got no clue. We don't know whether she was wealthy, rich, poor. These are things that are irrelevant. They don't make someone a role model. But we know everything about the type of heart she possessed and what her actions and deeds were, because that is what lasts. And that is what people may follow, and this is what people should follow. That will motivate them, that will inspire them, and that will grant them a great level in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters in Islam, Maryam radiallahu anha, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كَمُلَ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ كَثِيرٌ. Many men were perfect and complete. And that was the messengers and the prophets. However, from women, not many were perfect and complete, except for Maryam radiallahu anha and Asiya, as the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said. And what that means is that this was a complete woman. We're speaking a woman about a woman that was complete, and Allah referred to her as complete. She attained the highest level of virtues and praiseworthy qualities. She excelled in qualities of righteousness, piety, intelligence, in knowledge, in truth, justice, in honesty, and in good manners. She was complete in all these aspects of life. So any believer, man or woman, that is interested in excelling in all of these qualities, we have Maryam radiallahu anha as a perfect example and a role model to follow. So what made her a role model? Let's discuss. I told you three things. We're going to begin and take them one by one. In the very same ayah at the end of Surah At-Tahrim, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He said, وَمَرْيَمَ بْنَةَ عِمْرَانَ. Number one, أَلَّتِي أَحْصَنَتْ فَرْجَهَا. Allahu Akbar. Maryam, the daughter of Imran, is the one who protected her modesty, safeguarded her chastity. She protected herself from immoral actions that include zina and many other things. The very first thing that made her a role model was her commitment to modesty. And it was the first quality that was mentioned, which is evidence that morals such as modesty is from the greatest of matters that the believer should uphold. And this is very evident in her story. But before I tell you her story, how important is modesty in this day and age? People have lost the concept of modesty. You open any social media platform, 2-3 reels, and you're seeing something that is immodest. Not just immodest, something that is shameless, vulgar, lewd in nature. You may see adult content, which has now become very normal on the internet space. Children as young as 7 and 8 are being exposed to this. So many of our youth and elders are addicted to things like this online. You know why there's an addiction? Because al-haram never satisfies. You will never find someone addicted to something that is permissible, because permissible satisfies. You don't have to be addicted to it. You'll only take it when you need it. But al-haram, no matter how much you run after it, it's called an addiction. Then you will never be satisfied, no matter how much you take from az-zina or the money that is al-haram or whatever it is of the haram matters. To what end? You'll keep going down that path. So how important is this quality that made her a role model? Modesty. She upheld al-afaf. Very evident in her story. And that becomes very apparent when Jibreel alayhi salam was sent to Maryam by Allah to give her the good news that she will fall pregnant. And she wasn't even married at the time. So this is like an opportunity of haram that presented before her. As soon as Jibreel came, and he came in human form, and he's an angel, he will be the most beautiful looking person that Allah would ever create from the angels that go into human form. Otherwise, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the most beautiful of what Allah created. And he approaches her. What a temptation. And the moment she sees him, she says, "Inni a'udhu bir-Rahmani minka in kunta taqiyya." I seek refuge in the most merciful. Oh Allah, protect me from such a person and filthy intentions. She doesn't know what's coming to her. In kunta taqiyya, if indeed you are pious and righteous, keep away from me. Go. Allahu Akbar. Jibreel alayhi salam standing there, he says, "Innama ana rasulu rabbik." I'm only a messenger sent by your Lord, li ahaba laki ghulaman zakiyya, to give you the good news of a pure child that you will carry. She responded and said, "Anna yakunu li walad ghulam wa lam yamsasni bashar wa lam aku baghiya." How can it be? How can it be that I carry a child and no man has ever laid a finger on me? See, this is part of her modesty. How many men and women today around the world could say what Maryam said? I have not been touched inappropriately by the opposite gender that does not relate to me. How many can say that? How many can say, like she said, لَمْ يَمْسَسْنِي? She didn't even say, لَمْ يَمَسَّنِي. يَمَسَّنِي would mean a full touch. She negated لَمْ يَمْسَسْنِي, which is even less than a full touch. Like it's touching on the clothes, it doesn't even reach the skin yet. I have not been approached by man at all. وَلَمْ أَكُ بَغِيَّا, and I'm not an immoral, shameless woman. Allahu Akbar. These are the role models that we need, especially today. This is what we need to follow. If our young brothers and sisters are confused and they're saying, Wallah, the fitan around us are a lot and we're not married and we're falling into al-haram, indecent chats online, observing al-haram on the phone, meeting up in the stores, boyfriend, girlfriend, Wallah, that's the time. Maryam, look at her and that's your role model. Follow. Don't say, the times are difficult and I'm left on my own, no guidance. Well, that's when the role model is required. Why are we reading these ayat for? You ask, how can I get the strength? How can I keep away from al-haram? Ya akhi, read the Quran and follow these role models. You're confused? There's Maryam. Follow in her path. Uphold modesty. Maintain a life in where just before your death, you're able to say, وَلَمْ يَمْسَسْنِي بَشَرْ. I've never been touched inappropriately by someone that is not related to me, يعني الحرام. سبحان الله, التي أحصنت فرجها. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إِنَّ لِكُلِّ دِينٍ خُلُقٍ وَخُلُقِ الْإِسْلَامِ الْحَيَاءِ. Every single religion has a specific characteristic. And the specific characteristic of al-Islam is al-haya, modesty. How important is the discussion of modesty? So many people don't like this discussion anymore. They don't. From women to men, they don't like the discussion of modesty at all. The very moment a sheikh opens his mouth and says modesty, a shaytan has fooled, especially the sisters, to think, that means he's going to judge us because I'm not wearing hijab. Look at shaitan, he has fooled us to reduce the meaning of modesty to al-hijab. Well, modesty is far greater and bigger than al-hijab. Subhanallah, the shaitan has done his work. When you speak modesty, al-haya, there's almost discomfort in the heart. What's about to be said? What judgment is going to be made right now? So that I can hate whoever's speaking and never attend for him ever again. And then we run away from these people and we go and listen to some other people that are promoting shamelessness. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Brothers and sisters in Islam, al-haya, it comes from the word hay, living. Because anyone who upholds and commits to this great quality, modesty, his heart is pure and it's alive. And the further you are away from al-haya, then the further you are away from life, the heart is dead. It needs to be revived. And as I said to you, al-haya is for both men and women equally. Some assume that al-haya, modesty, is only a topic for women and it does not involve men. وَأَبُو سَعِيدَ الْخُضْرِي رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, when he described the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, كَانَ أَشَدُّ حَيَاءً مِنَ الْعَدْرَاءِ فِي خِدْرِهَا. Our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was described that he was more modest than a virgin in seclusion. You know a virgin in seclusion, what kind of modesty she will have? Never seen a man, never touched a man, never spoke to a man. In her house, secluded away from all this fitna, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was more shy than such a woman. That's the type of modesty Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had. The problem is, if we lose modesty, we don't pay attention to it, we don't care about it, we don't learn about it, we don't practice it. If we lose it, you know what happens? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي, if you don't become modest, and if you don't persevere and fight your nafs to adhere to modesty, فَاصْنَعْ مَا شِئْتْ, then go and do as you please. Meaning, you will end up doing whatever you like. Nothing will hold you back. And that doesn't mean that Allah is saying, go and do what you want. But this is a threat from Allah Azza wa Jal, saying, go, do what you want. You will face its consequences in this life, in the grave, in the afterlife. That's the problem. If we don't discuss modesty and we don't uphold it and we don't fight and struggle our nafs to adhere to it, that's what's going to happen. So yes, even when we speak about modesty concerning our sisters, wal hijab, we say that requires an enormous amount of struggle. And it requires an enormous amount of effort. You have to fight your nafs. You have to push yourself to adhere to what Allah Azza wa Jal commanded. And from that which He commanded was how to dress. And that's for both men and women. Sorry, brother, but also if it's 36 degrees outside, you cannot be wearing shorts above the knees. For that is going against the modesty that Allah Azza wa Jal taught us. You need to fight the nafs. لأن النفس is in tuned with الشيطان and his agenda. And the greatest agenda the shaytan has for mankind is to remove their clothes off. That's why he whispered in Adam alayhi salam's ear to eat from the tree. Not because of the tree, but because he knew that if he ate from the tree, his clothes will come off. And that's exactly what happened. The moment he took from the tree and bit it, his clothes came off. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, فَوَسْوَسَ لَهُمَا الشَّيْطَانِ لِيُبْدِيَ لَهُمَا مَا وُرِيَ عَنْهُمَا مِنْ سَوْآتِهِمَا. The devil, he evil whispered to Adam and Hawa so that he can remove their clothes off. But he did it by bringing them closer to the tree. And he knew if they ate from it, their clothes will come off. That's the agenda of Iblis. So you have to fight the nafs to uphold modesty in all of its meanings and all of its senses. And one of the clearest ways of immodesty today is the dressing and the clothing of people, of men and women. Subhanallah, that's the consequence. If you don't uphold modesty, that's what will happen. And if the clothes come off, a person will do whatever he likes. Nothing will hold him back. I want you to appreciate the story of Musa alayhi salam so you can further understand this concept of modesty. You know, one day Musa alayhi salam came out to his people. Bani Israel, they used to bathe together at the river and they would uncover their awrat in front of one another. No shame among them. Musa alayhi salam, of course, was sick of that. So he would go away and shower and bathe somewhere at the river where no one can see him. And Bani Israel began to insult him and accuse him. They said to each other, Musa alayhi salam does not shower with us in where we are because he is adar. He has an abnormality. His private parts are big. So he doesn't come with us and he's embarrassed of that. So that's why he's covered himself and gone away from us. And they began to mock and insult and laugh with one another. So Allah Azza wa Jal wanted to clear him from that which they accused him of. So you know what happened? This is in Sahih al-Bukhari. He went one day to the usual place where he bathes. He took his clothes off and he put them on a rock. And by the permission of Allah, the rock began to move. And it started to move. And Musa alayhi salam ran after it. And it stopped exactly where Bani Israel were all bathing together. And they saw him naked. And he took his clothes and he hit that stone. But I tell you something. And then as a result, Allah cleared him from the accusation. They saw, and there was nothing of that which they accused him of. Everything was normal. Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned this in the Quran and said, O you who believe, لا تكونوا كالذين آذوا موسى. Don't be like those who accused Musa. فبرأه الله مما قالوا. And then Allah cleared him from that which they accused him of. But I want to share this with you. Why didn't Allah command Musa to strip naked in front of his people so that they can see? I mean, it's the same result. whether the stone moved in the way it did and he appeared naked before them, or whether Allah commanded him to go naked in front of them, it would have been the same result. But in order for Allah to protect his modesty, Allah changed the laws of the universe and made a rock, which really doesn't move, move to protect his modesty. Because had Allah commanded him strip naked in front of them, that would have damaged his modesty. Even today, when one of us goes to the hospital for surgery, you won't undress in front of the doctor and then go on the bed and then go to sleep. You're clothed, then you go to sleep, then the doctor will remove the clothing and operate where he needs to operate. That way your modesty is guarded and it's protected. You didn't willingly undress. You see to what point Allah Azza wa Jal went to preserve his modesty? Incredible stuff. Modesty is everything. Allah Azza wa Jal wanted to preserve it even in Musa alayhi salam. So he did it in this way. At the end result was the same. He appeared naked in front of them. But at least his modesty was still in check, because he appeared all of a sudden and had no clue that they would be there.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
SubhanAllah. So, modesty is something huge. That's the highlighted quality of Maryam and the first one. And what is haya? What is modesty? If we said it's bigger than al-hijab. One day Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out to the companions and he said to them, istahyu min Allahi haqq al-haya. He said to them, go and be modest of Allah azza wa jal the way he deserves it from you. Imagine that. They said, O Messenger of Allah, we are. We are modest and shy of Allah. What's expected? He said, no, I'm not talking about what you're thinking. He said, فَإِنَّ مَنِ اسْتَحْيَى مِنَ اللَّهِ حَقَّ الْحَيَى فَلْيَحْفَظِ الرَّأْسَ وَمَا حَوَى وَلْيَحْفَظِ الْبَطْنَ وَمَا وَعَى وَلْيَذْكُرِ الْمَوْتَ وَالْبِلَى وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ تَرَكَ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. He said to them, no, I don't mean this. True modesty is that one guards the head and what it contains. Guard the head, meaning make sure you're listening to al-halal. Listening to that which is permissible is part of modesty. Listening to music, listening to very bad things that affect the ear, the brain, the heart, that is immodesty. Of course, modesty is practiced with the ear, the head. So that means also the tongue, the words. Practice modesty in your speech, and that is by speaking good words and avoiding foul language. The eyes is part of the head. Practice modesty in the eye by looking at that which is permissible and avoiding consistently looking at that which is haram and dirties and filthies the heart. وَلْيَحْفَظِ الْبَطْنَ وَمَا وَعَى. And modesty is also to guard the stomach and what it holds. Meaning modesty is also in your food and what you eat. And obviously above the list is that you eat that which is halal and you don't purchase that which is haram, and especially you don't earn this that is haram. Haram money, haram jobs, that's immodesty, shamelessness. Halal job, halal money, food is halal on the table, that's practicing and upholding modesty. See how big modesty is? And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, guard the stomach and what it holds. And around the stomach area is also the privates. Fear Allah with that and do not fulfill your desire in al-haram, such as zina and other methods. For that is indeed immodesty. Fulfill it in your halal spouse, and that would be modesty and a sadaqah for you, and a matter that is pleasing to Allah. Subhanallah. And then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and also modesty is, وَلْيَذْكُرِ الْمَوْتَ وَالْبِلَىٰ, and remember death and the decay of the body when it withers and it becomes dust. The more you remember death, you continue to preserve a state of modesty. When you forget death, you become arrogant, slowly and surely, and you become discontent, and you become immodest. وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةِ, and whoever desires the afterlife, تَرَكَ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, then he should leave the adornment of this worldly life. See, the hadith didn't say he left the worldly life. Not obviously, because you're living in it. You're supposed to take from it to live. But he leaves the excessive matters, the luxurious matters that there's no need for. But perhaps they may damage his heart and damage his relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. Leave that stuff off and prepare for the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then at the end, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever does that, فَقَدْ اِسْتَحْيَ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَقَّ الْحَيَاءِ, then he has truly shown shyness and modesty to Allah the way he deserves. Allahu Akbar. Either now we learn that modesty is something huge and massive that we're supposed to remind each other of every single day. Now, modesty includes, so now, the lowering of the gaze, we said that. It includes al-hijab, that there is no inappropriate relationships. It also includes marriage. When a person is single, yakhi, why are you single? Pursue marriage, for verily marriage adds to your modesty because it protects you from al-haram. Now, and modesty and shyness, of course, is also found in our relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, subhanallah. Also, we did say that al-hijab is a part of modesty. And it's a very important discussion, especially in this day and age that we live in. The one who upholds, the woman and the man also that uphold the modesty included in that is al-hijab, will be rewarded huge, especially in this day and age. One reward for upholding the modesty, and another reward for upholding it in this time of difficulty where it's very difficult to uphold modesty. And we are not living in an easy time in where modesty may easily be practiced. We're not, especially for our sisters and when it comes to al-hijab. And social media doesn't make things easier. If you look at the news today and reels, even if you look at news across the globe, we're hearing hijab has been banned in this country. We're hearing of al-niqab being banned in such and such country. And how do Muslim women live in these countries? We hear attacks on Muslim sisters in this country that are wearing al-hijab, being attacked. People say Islamophobia on the rise. A woman with hijab is most likely attacked than the one who is not wearing al-hijab. And people are facing such a huge decision in their life as to whether to wear the proper hijab or not all across the Western world. Not only that, but add to it, we have sisters that are removing the hijab, removing the niqab. And if you search deep down, some of them are doing it for a desire within themselves, and others are feeling compelled to remove it. It's like, I got no other option. If I keep it on, I'm scared outside the house, I may be attacked. And if I remove it, I'll be safe outside the house. What a decision and what a life to live. See how difficult it is? So what's the solution? My sister, my brother, the solution once again, Maryam, التي أحصنت فرجها. Maryam رضي الله عنها also lived in a society like the one we're in. In fact, you'll see later on in her story, the people encircle her and they began to hurl insults and abuse at her. She received backlash for how she upheld modesty. And that was not a reason for her to abstain from al-haya, modesty. Rather, she remained patient and she upheld this matter. So if you're experiencing difficulty, always remember Maryam radiallahu anha and follow in that path. At least you have someone to follow. Someone that is verified by Allah Azza wa Jal. Unlike these role models or influencers that buy a blue tick next to their name and pay money for themselves to be verified. These role models in the Quran are verified by Allah Azza wa Jal. So we follow that. That's the simple answer. Now, and so many women in this day and age have followed in the footsteps of Maryam. Look at our sisters, for example, in Gaza. Wallahi, you heard incredible stories of their adherence to modesty wal hijab. Women coming out of the rubble, not wanting to come out because some of their body is exposed. So they remained in there bleeding, saying, bring us some clothing to cover ourselves before we come out. And in their situation, they have every concession in Islam to come out, no problems, because look at, they're about to die. Yet, modesty comes first. Get me some clothes before I come out. There are people that are living in this world that have followed the example of Maryam. Warhla sitting in the Western life, in the West, enjoying the comfort and the peace, and we're saying it's difficult to uphold modesty. The only difficulty is here. A shaitan has gone through. So we need to come back to these stories, these ayat, the Quran, the guidance of Allah Azza wa Jal, to be motivated and inspired once again. Subhanallah. And then, I don't know who needs to hear this, but perhaps it may help someone or some sister that is out there that is struggling with this matter. There are countries that have banned a niqab, and perhaps a niqab may become a challenge in those countries to wear. It's against the law. So what do they do in that sense? Wallahu al-musta'an. Our advice to sisters that are facing this type of oppression and injustice, we call it, is uphold modesty as best as you can. If that means to observe sitting in the house for longer periods of time, then do so and avoid unnecessary outings. If you need to come out and need to remove the niqab, then you have a concession to do so, because life is valued in Islam. But if you do so, come out of the house and have discomfort in your heart. Don't, finally, alhamdulillah, I got the chance to remove it. Have discomfort in the heart that some of your modesty has been robbed by an oppressive system. Kind of like the one who, let's say, was in a compelling situation and he starved and there was no food in front of him but pork. You're compelled to eat it to survive. How would you eat it? Are you going to approach the plate and say, oh, finally, wallah, I was waiting for the day where I'll try this meal. Then you're going to eat it with disgust and discomfort, yani, and just eat what you need of it and let it go. So whoever's forced into a situation to take on al-haram or to leave something of the commandments, that's the type of attitude and approach you should have. Discomfort. Leave the house, do your duty or whatever it is, and come back to preserve that modesty within your nafs. It's a high quality iman, believers. That's how they approach this matter. Allati ahsanat farjaha. That's the first quality. The second quality and the third quality we share with you in the remaining minutes. وَصَدَّقَتْ بِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّهَا وَكُتُبِهِ. The second matter that made her a role model, Allah Azza wa Jal said, and she believed in the words of her Lord and His scriptures. Allahu Akbar. What a massive matter. What made her a role model is that she believed in the commandments of Allah and the scriptures that came from Allah Azza wa Jal. She had belief. But my question to you is this. How does that make her special or make her a role model? Doesn't everyone have to believe? And if you don't believe, you're a disbeliever, no paradise for you. So how's that special? That's the question that needs to be in our minds. What we're learning from this is that iman is actually two levels. There is a general standard level that we all need to achieve in life. If we don't have this general standard level, a person dies a disbeliever. That is, believing in Allah, His Messenger, His books, and the matters that we all need to believe in. And there is a higher matter than this. There's a higher elite level of Iman. That is what Allah Azza wa Jal is speaking about. And what's the proof that there is these two types of tasdeeq, belief? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in an authentic hadith that the people of the paradise, when eventually they enter the paradise, some of them will be in a low level and some of them will be in a very, very high level. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when the people enter the paradise, those in the low levels, they would look above them and they will see people right above them, like how we see the star when we are standing on earth. You walk out now, you look up, you'll see a star. Oh, it's very far. So the companions, they said, Ya Rasulullah, who are those people up there? Surely they are the messengers and the prophets. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, by Allah, no. Not only them. He said, those people in those mansions, تِلْكَ رِجَالْ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَصَدَّقُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ. They are men or women that believed in Allah and His messengers. Ordinary, not only messengers and companions and prophets, ordinary people that made it to this elite level of Iman. So what is the distinguishing factor? What distinguishes between a low level of belief and a high elite level of belief that Allah is speaking about Maryam radiallahu anha? That, my brothers and sisters in Islam, is the belief that is apparent when you are tested severely. When you are tested extremely in your health, in your wealth, in whatever it is. When the test is strong, if you remain steadfast upon the commandments of Allah, that's what Maryam radiallahu anha was. That's the high level of Iman. And this is evident in her story as well. Where is it? Watch this. Maryam radiallahu anha, she became pregnant. And she faced a huge calamity from the day she became pregnant, to the point where she said, Ya laytani mittu qabla hadha wa kuntu nasyan mansiya. I wish I had died way before this and people had forgotten about me. If you wish for death, that means you are facing something unbearable. That's what she's wishing. The calamity is severe and intense. She's carrying a child, she's not even married. And she has to go to her people, so she walks to her people. Just before she goes, Allah Azza wa Jal reveals to her something. Pay attention. He says to her, فَكُلِي وَشْرَبِي وَقَرِّي عَيْنَ. Eat, Ya Maryam, and drink. Eat from the dates, drink from this water. وَقَرِّي عَيْنَ. And every time you feel sad, look at your child, Isa alayhi salam, and find some comfort in your heart by looking at your child. فَإِمَّا تَرَيِنَّ مِنَ الْبَشَرِ أَحَدًا. If you saw any one of mankind, because right now she cannot see anyone, but if the moment you see someone, فَقُولِ إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لِلرَّحْمَانِ صَوْمًا فَلَنْ أُكَلِّمَ الْيَوْمَ إِنْسِيًّا. Then make a vow and a promise. Allah commands her, if you see any one of mankind, remain silent, do not open your mouth. Remain silent of speech, لِلرَّحْمَانِ, for the sake of the Most Merciful, and do not speak to anyone at all. Meaning speak to Allah alone and no one of mankind. I tell you something. She's facing a disastrous calamity. Pregnant and there's no husband. And Allah has commanded her, when you see mankind, don't say a single word. Let me tell you something. If you're put in a position like that, and you're going to now be slandered and accused in your dignity and chastity, what is the first thing you want to do? Let's say someone walked up to you and accused you of zina, wal-iyadu billah. What's the first thing you desire to do without giving it a thought? To defend yourself. Look, it's a desire to defend yourself. Yani look, today, whenever there's scandals, or whenever a prime minister or a president or an influential figure on social media is accused of something wrong, not even 24 hours go by except there's a statement this long. Let me give you the background story, and this has happened, and this is the facts. And yeah, there's a desire in the human being to talk his innocence. And what is Allah telling Maryam? Don't say a single word. fight your desire to defend yourself, don't say a single word. Wallahi, the worst type of oppression is to be accused of something you never did, and at the same time you have nothing to prove your innocence. How is she going to prove her innocence? So you know what happens? She walks back to her people, she's carrying Isa alayhi salam, she's breastfeeding him and she's covered. The moment they saw her, they encircled her and she sat right in the middle of this circle. And they began to hurl their insults. They said, Ya Maryam, laqad ji'ti shay'an fariya. You have come with a monstrous matter. What the hell is this? Ya ukhta Harun, O sister of Harun. See, she's not the blood sister of Harun, but Harun, alayhi salam, the brother of Musa, was known for his piety and worship. So they compared her to Harun because of her piety and worship. So it's like it's rubbing salt in the wound. Ya ukhta Harun, O Maryam, the one who is known for her piety and dignity, mashallah, we always thought good of you. What's this? Ya ukhta Harun, ma kana abuki imra'a sawt. Your father wasn't an evil man. Why have you turned out like this? Wa ma kanat ummuki baghiya, and your mother wasn't a woman of the streets. Why have you turned out like this? We imagine how burning this is for someone who is so innocent from what they're accusing her of. At this very moment, the desire is to burst in speech and prove your innocence. You know what she does? Despite the intense calamity, she obeyed Allah's command. You know what she did? فَأَشَارَتْ إِلَيْهِ. She remained silent. And she began to point to him. Allahu Akbar. She obeyed Allah's command without understanding the wisdom behind it, despite the intense calamity. And that's what made her elite in her belief. And you know, because she obeyed Allah, relief came right after that. قَالَ. The baby spoke. That never happens. إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ آتَانِيَ الْكِتَابَ وَجَعَلَنِي نَبِيًّا. And there we go. That's the greatest evidence for her innocence. The hardship was removed in a matter of moments, but the condition was obey Allah despite the intense calamity. And that was the case of all the prophets and the messengers. Imagine Allah when He commanded Nuh alayhi salam, build an ark in the middle of the desert, on sand. There's no water in sight. What is the wisdom behind this? And every time His people pass by Him, they mock Him. You know how intense of a difficulty this is? You're building a ship and you don't know for what reason you're building, and on sand. They're thinking He's gone crazy. Sakhiru min. You know what Nuh alayhi salam did? So beautiful. Look it up in Surah Hud. Two ayat right next to each other. The first one says, اصْنَعِ الْفُلْكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا. Construct the ship under our supervision. The next ayat, وَيَصْنَعُ الْفُلْكَ. He begins to construct. خلاص, just obey. Despite the intense calamity, or even if you don't understand things, built. SubhanAllah, it ends up saving him and the believers. It was relief. Obeying Allah's command in the most difficult of moments is actually relief. You are earning your relief. It'll come sooner or later. But just worship Allah Azza wa Jal. And everyone who chose to neglect Allah's command in the intense calamity he faced, failed and failed miserably at the end. So when things are very difficult, continue to pray. Some people say, I don't have time for salat. Wallah, I barely can have any food on the table. So I think Allah will excuse me because I have to work so much that I don't have time to salat because I need to feed my kids. And then he abandons the salat, thinking that's going to be accepted. No, it's not accepted. You got to make time for your salat. In fact, your salat is what will bless your work and bless that little food you can provide for your family. Some sisters may say, that's too much. All my friends around me don't wear al-hijab, they don't adhere to it. And all my following and followers and whatever activity it is on social media does not fit in with al-hijab. So, you know what? I think I'm exempt in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and I may remove it for the time being because things are very difficult. That doesn't work as an excuse before Allah Azza wa Jalla. Sister, despite the intense difficulty, you need to adhere to Allah's command. Relief will come sooner or later. Because some may remove it and say, because I didn't find a husband. I need to remove the hijab so I can find a potential husband. When I get married, I'll wear it. How foolish of a choice. And that most definitely came from no one but the shaitan. سبحان الله. وصدقت بكلمات ربها وكتبه. But I tell you something, brothers and sisters. The question is, how do we achieve this strong faith? Like we all now perhaps are inspired. I want to be like that. Because it is inevitable that we are all facing calamities in life. We've already faced and they're gone and others are coming on the way. So how can I ensure myself being like Maryam, adhering to Allah's command in despite the intense difficulty I may face? How do I achieve that? As-Sa'di rahimahullah mentions it beautifully in his tafsir. He said, authentic beneficial knowledge is an essential component to achieve the highest level of faith. You need knowledge, brothers and sisters in Islam. It is impossible. You will never be able to be a strong adherent unto Allah's command in the intense moments of your life if you don't have beneficial knowledge in your mind and in your heart. Not any type of knowledge, beneficial knowledge that comes from the Quran or Sunnah. How does knowledge allow you to reach that high level of as-siddiqiyah, that belief? Because knowledge will give a person certainty in the command of Allah. Knowledge will give a person certainty that the promise of Allah and the paradise and His pleasure is for the believers that adhere to His commands. And if that certainty has settled in your heart, and it can only come from the authentic knowledge, you'll be able to go through any intense calamity while adhering to Allah's command. Either what does that mean? If your knowledge is short, go and top it up. Go and learn for those difficult days that come ahead, in where you'll find much energy and power and strength within yourself to adhere to Allah Azza wa Jal's commandments. And the final and last attribute that made her a role model to society and mankind and humanity at large, وَكَانَتْ مِنَ الْقَانِتِينَ. She was from those who were devoutly obedient. She was known for her worship. She's a role model because of her worship. That's why Zakariya alayhi salam built for her a chamber in Baytul Maqdis, and she was always found in there praying. And why? Why did she become an al-qanitin? Al-qunut is to worship, to be sincere and honest in your relationship with Allah. You know why? Because in Surah Ali Imran, Allah Azza wa Jal said, Ya Maryamu, inna Allah astafaki. O Maryam, Allah has chosen you for the purity that you possess in your heart, as-safa. Allah has chosen you. وطهرك, He's purified you from all filth in belief, in ideology, in society, in everything. Purified you. وَاصْطَفَاكَ عَلَى نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ. And He chose you above all women of mankind. She's on top of the list. Then Allah said, Ya Maryam uqnuti. O Maryam, be devout to your Lord. Worship your Lord. How? وَاسْجُدِي وَارْكَعِي مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ. And especially from the worship, what I want to see is your sujood and ruku'. Pray. You know why she was from the worshippers? Because Allah had chosen her for purity. So as though Allah is saying, since I chose you and I selected you above everyone, thank me for that blessing. Pray. And the more you worship, the more Allah raises her in rank. And the more you're raised, the more you have to thank Allah for that. So you increase your worship and it's like a cycle that keeps on going up and up and up. And so brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah has chosen us all. Allah Azza wa Jal said, هُوَ اجْتَبَاكُمْ. He chose you all. Anyone who says, La ilaha illallah, is chosen by Allah. Why? Why did Allah choose you? Why did Allah choose me and choose you to say, La ilaha illallah, and stand in the rows of the believers and pray? Why did He choose us to recite His word and honor His word in a day and age where people are burning His word? Who's you? Who's me? I don't know. I really don't know. No one knows why Allah chose you, why Allah chose me. You don't need to know. All you need to know is, how should I thank this blessing that Allah Azza wa Jal chose me for? Focus on that. Don't focus on why me? Why was I chosen? Focus on how should I thank this blessing that Allah Azza wa Jal has bestowed upon me and deprived many others of? And once you realize that, put your head on the ground and make a long sujood thanking Him for this blessing. For indeed Allah Azza wa Jal promised that the one who is grateful to him, Allah would increase him. So the more you show great gratitude to Allah for ni'matul Islam, the more Islam Allah will give you. The more Iman Allah will give you. And the more he gives you, the more you'll end up thanking him. The more you end up thanking him, the more and more he gives you. And Allahu Akbar, it doesn't end. Every time Allah gave you knowledge you never had, that means he chose you for it. Thank him. Every time you were able to do a worship, give a sadaqah, fast a day, thank him because he gave you the ability to do so. Huwa ijtabakum, he chose you. وَكَانَتْ مِنَ الْقَانِتِينَ Allahu Akbar. That's what we end our lecture with, brothers and sisters in Islam. The final remark I make in a minute, bi-idhnillah, that is, what do we take from all of this? What do we take from all of this? We take from all of this with what we started. We started by speaking about role models. So that means today, the action plan for tonight's lecture is go back home, open your social media, go to your followers list, those that haven't contributed to society in terms of modesty and belief and iman and knowledge and everything related to the worship of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and those who haven't contributed to society in any form of worship or good deed, unfollow. Because they're not real moral models. They're going to destroy you before you know it or not. It's just a matter of who's going to get off whose back before who. Are they going to affect you, or you're going to leave their path and unfollow and save your iman? And then follow those who bring you closer to Allah Azza wa Jal, that have added value to the meaning of modesty and worship and enhanced your understanding and your relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. Not only this is an activity you do with your digital phones, but also in your circles. Clean it all out. Those that don't deserve to be near you because they don't remind you of Allah and destroy your iman, it's time to let go. These are not the role models you want to follow. These are not the people you want to be with. So tonight's lesson requires a massive commitment and a massive change. And that bi-idhnillahi ta'ala is for the people of strong iman, which that's bi-idhnillah what we ask of Allah Azza wa Jal to bestow upon us. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla at the end of this lecture that he strengthen our iman. We ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala that he make us people of the Qur'an, people of the sunnah. We ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our good deeds and to forgive our shortcomings and our bad deeds. And we ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from the punishment of hell. إِنَّهُ وَلِيُّ ذَلِكَ وَالْقَادِرُ عَلَيْهُ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ
Lowe's knows you want the best for dad. This Father's Day, help him take on any project with big deals on DeWalt. Right now, get a free XR 8 amp hour battery when you buy select DeWalt tools. That's not all. Get up to two free select tools when you buy a select DeWalt 20 volt max battery kit. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a work load is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.